I figured that when Kimberly came in tonight and she would see this, that she'd get a little bit of excitement going on. Told her that if we're going to do any foot washing, we're going to have to let her show us how. Maybe Miriam could help out there as well. I haven't been to too many of them myself. But I believe it's a part of the scene that was taking place when Jesus shared the bread and the cup. In John chapter 13, it says, "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and sent and went to God." And then verse number 4, he says, he riseth from supper. It's hard for us to picture this because of our ways of doing things. But if we can picture it here in their scene, they're lounging, eating, fellowshipping. Their feet aren't tucked under the table. Their feet aren't tucked under a chair. "But he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself." Can you imagine the scene? Can you imagine what was taking place? Jesus is getting near to the time when his sojourn on earth is over. And he wanted to teach them, his disciples. You look through the Gospels and the last moments, the last days, he was really giving some intense instruction to his disciples. I don't think that this was anything less. For Jesus to lay aside his garment and to take the towel, pour the water into the basin, and go around from disciple to disciple and begin to wash their feet. He came to Peter, and Peter said, "No, Lord, you can't do that." We can speculate a whole lot. We can find a whole lot in that phrasing there, in those passages, to give us some good preaching. We can preach about Peter was too conceited. Peter was too high and mighty. Peter wasn't about to let the Lord do that for him. You know, I'd have a hesitancy too. Brother Webb's pastored churches. He's evangelized around a long time. And, you know, if he were to come up here right now and tell me to sit in the chair and take my socks and shoes off, and I'd say, "Ah, Brother Webb, come on. Can we do it after everybody's gone if it has to be done at all?" And that's Brother Webb. I didn't know he was going to be here, but since he's here, I'll pick on him. But Jesus was doing it. Jesus was trying to teach them something. And when he told Peter, or when Peter said that he couldn't wash his feet, Jesus said, "Well, then you can't have a part in my kingdom. Well, then if that's the case, Lord, then wash my feet, my hands, and my head." And Jesus said, "You don't need to do all that." There's a symbol here that's going on, and he goes on to explain that symbolism. He was talking about the Lord being the servant. He was talking about doing things for others and being that servant, serving other people. The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Jesus was trying to get them to understand some things. of what was taking place, what was important. Because in just a short period of time, Jesus was going to be taken away from them, and he was going to be broken. His body was going to be broken. His blood was going to be shed. There was going to be some major changes that were taking place, and he wanted them to understand that Jesus didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom, but he came to serve. Matthew Henry tells us about the ordinances of Christ. He said, if they do not make us better, be apt to make us worse. If we use them, or if the use of them does not mend, it will harden. Upon coming together, he said, they fell into divisions and schisms. Christians may separate from each other's communion, yet be charitable one towards another. They may continue in the same communion, yet be uncharitable. I don't know necessarily there's a whole lot of history that can be gleaned from, but Matthew Henry goes on in his writings to say that many of the rich Corinthians seem to have acted very wrong at the Lord's table or at these love feasts, and that they took place at the time of the supper, and the rich despised the poor. The rich would come in and they would eat up and drink up all of the sacraments, so that when it came time for the poor to come up, there wasn't anything left. There wasn't anything remaining. I think it goes back to the basin and the water. When Jesus washed their feet, there was something to be said about doing things for other people. And there's something to be said about that particular act of service that would blend us and mend us and unite us. You know, we're united well enough in our doctrines. We're united well enough in our feelings of certain things. We don't have to be united in every little detail in the minute matters of our lives. You can like a Chevy and somebody else can like a Ford. We don't have to have all the same thoughts along those lines, but a disunity within, a dismembering of within, where we can't allow somebody to wash our feet in a figurative sense. To where we can't allow somebody, or we won't do it to somebody else. No, I'm not. I would feel uncomfortable about doing that with them. What are those things that come to our mind when that takes place? Could have a loaf of bread up here, a homemade loaf of bread, and we could break it and we could pass it around and everybody partake of the bread-breaking service as such, to where we go to each other and break bread together and express our appreciation and love one for another. A congregation this size, though, we could easily avoid somebody. We could easily stay away from somebody, you know, and watch them out of the corner of our eye, and when they work their way this direction, then we work our way that direction. We don't have to make that kind of contact in a congregation this size. But I believe the whole point of what was taking place wasn't so much that we do all of these things and we perform all of these things so that we have the opportunity in this kind of a setting to avoid somebody, but that we realize that there is something there that may cause us to avoid somebody that doesn't need to be there. Those of you that have been participants of what they call foot washing services, I believe that you come away from them with happiness, and you've enjoyed it. It was good. I don't know that it's called foot washing around here. It would have to be foot washing, I'm sure. Jesus was wanting to get his disciples to the point where they could serve. If we're really going to be a disciple of Christ, if we're really going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, it's more than just the testimony. It's more than just an expression of words. It's more than just attending church. I believe that Jesus was teaching us to serve other people. And the basis of that service very well could be found right here in the sacraments that we partake of and participate in tonight. It was all a part of the evening. But as we look at the broken body of Christ and the shed blood of Christ, and we zero in on that particular part of it, we can lose sight of everything else. But from that particular thing of the broken body and the shed blood comes branching out from that, this important part of being a servant. Being a servant may be inconvenient. Being a servant may be costly. Being a servant could even be uncomfortable at times, or at least cause us discomfort. Jesus was trying to teach his disciples some things. And I can't help but believe that the main point that he was trying to teach in the scenario that was there was that he wanted his followers, his disciples, to be servants. Tonight we have the grape juice and the little wafers. We're going to partake of them together this evening. And I pray that we will enter into the spirit of it. Enter into the heartfelt action of it. Jesus gave his body to be broken. And the shedding of his blood for our sins to be forgiven. Who can participate? If you're saved, if your heart longs to be a disciple of Christ, if you want to be his follower, he welcomes us to join in. He welcomes us to participate. It's not a closed door. Again, parents, use your discretion at the age of your child. But you and I can participate tonight because Jesus opened the door for us to come.